let's go. Yeah. For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, y'all. Come
this on. Is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 6th episode of TFS Spotlight, where we discuss anything and everything film-related. Joining me today is my usual co-host, Hashigiri.
Hey, what's up?
And also joining me today again for a second time is Kevin Carr from Fat Guys at the Movies.
What is up, people?
Today's topic is going to be a rather interesting one because instead of us discussing our normal topics, which is usually very technically based, we're going to be putting the spotlight on a person, which today is cult director extraordinaire Kevin Smith.
Wow. That's setting the bar high.
Extraordinaire. That impresses even me.
You know, the symbol of fat guys for everyone.
I can't really, I'll just take both of your words on that.
So first let's give a little history behind Kevin Smith. And for anyone that doesn't know the story, if you do know the story, you probably heard this 1,000 times before today. But for anyone that doesn't, the story of Kevin Smith is rather interesting because he grew up poor. He wanted to be a filmmaker. He worked at the Quick Stop, which he based Clerks off of. And he went to college. He met producer Scott Mosier. And in college, he finished writing Clerks. Came back, shot Clerks on a budget of, I believe it was $23,000.
27. It was 26 and change, I think.
26 and change off credit cards. He put himself into debt. Did it on credit cards, shot the film, premiered it at some local film festival in New York City, got picked up by Sundance, premiered at Sundance, Weinstein's bought it, and he worked with the Weinsteins ever since after Clerks, until Zach Amir was the last one he did with the Weinstein Company. So, first off, what are your personal thoughts on Kevin Smith? Hash, let's start with you.
I respect what he's doing, this whole... for lack of a better word, lack of style. I definitely can see why some people would have a cult following with him. Personally, I'm not too interested in it. For me, sometimes he goes too far into these sex jokes. It feels kind of like a cop-out, no pun intended. It really feels... Yeah, it feels like it's just, all right, let's just throw this in for shock value and see what we get. And, you know, I respect the guy. I like... how he's kind of built himself up without really having any much stylistic basis on it. And, you know, I'm indifferent towards him. I'm not a fan, but I'll bear with him.
Kevin?
You know, first of all, I'll say I respect the hell out of Kevin Smith for making a commodity of himself.
Yeah.
And that, because he is actually more valuable than his properties. I mean, Clerks, everyone knows Clerks. Way more people know who Kevin Smith is than have actually seen Clerks. And that can be said for any of his movies. I mean, none of his movies are widely seen. They make about $30 million tops at the box office. And he's even said that to that respect. I respect the fact that he's done that. He's made a commodity of himself. I like his work. Some of it blows hot and cold for me. But I think that he has captured a generation, which I think is a great achievement for him. But I also think that it's a huge burden for him. It's an albatross around his neck. I mean, he's turning 40 this year. And, you know, I think he's also terrified that he's going to be going back to doing dick and fart jokes not too long from now.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the well.
For me, I am a huge fan of Kevin Smith. He's one of my favorite directors. And it's because I like just his very, you know, freelance, out there style. He just likes to do whatever he thinks was right and what he thinks is funny. And I respect that on a whole lot. And I think the fact that he was able to create a whole universe around essentially just two characters, that one of which is himself, and it's just his, and like similar to the way Tarantino does it, a lot of the characters in Kevin Smith movies are just different portrayals of Kevin Smith, and I think that's
or people he knew in high school,
right? And it's just, it just
goes back to that,
yeah. And I think it works out for him greatly. And I think he's a very, very talented writer. He's proven that. Like, he's written stuff he's written comic books, he's written books, and I think
yeah, he's he's a pop culture. I mean, quite frankly, he is a pop culture genius.
Yeah, definitely. You
know, as far as what he's able to do.
And he was also one of the first directors to really utilize the internet as a tool for the way of making movies. And I think that was also great. And he has embraced the internet culture. Yeah, and Kevin Smith feels like a guy that he knows what he wants to do, but he hides it. Like, I can't honestly believe that he believes what he says when he says, I'm not a very good director. I have to imagine he knows it and he's playing it up, and I respect him for that. Like, I gotta think that he actually knows he is a good director.
No, I disagree. I think he actually, deep down, I think he, which is the way most artists are in some form, he's got a lot of insecurity. I don't think he's confident as a director, which is why he goes back to his familiar stuff so often. That's not saying he's not a good, I think he's a good director, and I'd like to see him stretch more.
Absolutely.
But I do think that he has a lot of self-confidence issues, because that comes out in his work. And deep down, he's a better writer. If you were to say anything he's best at, it is as a writer, because that's where his style emerges, and that's where he's able to be versatile, do books. I mean, his prose is hilarious, and his funnier than his scripts, and he can do comic books and that sort of thing. So I think his strength is, and he knows that he's a better writer than director.
Mm-hmm, definitely. What are your, like, when you guys watch these films, like, is there any film you like particularly over another? Or is there anything you want to see changed in this film, something you wish you would do different? Hash, what about you?
For me, I love Dogma.
Oh, definitely.
I absolutely love Dogma. It was funny, it was smart, it was surprisingly deep. And one of the things that I'd like to see him do more is these, kind of take that approach on these hardcore, very controversial subjects, and, you know, put a comic twist on these really dark subjects that everyone argues over, like he did in Dogma, very serious, and put just this absolutely insane, out of the world, you know, there's a friggin' rubber poop monster in the movie.
Well, take on it. Well, what's interesting about Dogma is he stated he was in a crisis of faith when he made that movie.
Yeah.
That, writing that movie for him was him working through his crisis of faith.
Oh, yeah, and you can actually tell. That's a part of that is what makes that such a good movie, is how personal it is. And I'd love to see him stretch out and really try to take more of an initiative with these insane topics and dead serious topics, and put his own twist to it.
Kevin, so when he makes Rape the Musical,
I want to eat there. Opening night.
Kevin, what about you?
Well, you know, what's funny, I will consider myself a Kevin Smith fan, because in general, I do like his stuff. But I'm completely opposite of what everybody else is in the fan base. My dead last movie of his, the one I like the least, and I actually go as far to say I really hate it, is Chasing Amy. Everyone loves that movie. I absolutely hate it. A lot of it has to do with Joy Lauren Adams and her screechy Jennifer Tilly voice. But I found nothing interesting about that movie, and I thought it went in stupid places. My favorite of his movies are his tried and true dick and fart joke movies. I liked Clerks. I love Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. I liked Mallrats, if you remove Shannon Tarkey out of it. But I do like that kind of stuff. When he tries to get too serious and too personal, I'm just not into that. And then it's not that he does it poorly. It's just not my bag. So as a fan, you know, I like his just ballsier, goofier humor. I mean, it's like Adam Sandler. I mean, Billy Madison's my favorite Adam Sandler movie out there. You know, the hell with funny people. You know, give me the old
Drunk Love.
Yeah.
See, I'm the complete opposite as far as what you're saying. I his like dick and fart jokes are kind of like, I mean, come on, what are we in high school? We're gonna laugh at these, really?
Dude, you're the one who was talking about the brilliance of a poop monster.
No, I'm saying how brilliant he was able to put it in this whole religious field, and somehow it worked.
See, here's my beef with Dogma, and this is just me. It may be me showing my age, because I was 30 when it came out, and or pushing 30 when it came out. If there was nothing original in Dogma, in my opinion, I mean, all Black Jesus, I've heard that before. Female God, I've heard that before. Every single thing that they hit, that I heard all these people, friends of mine that love the movie, they're like, oh, it's great because it broke these barriers and it said this. And I'm like, yeah, it said that, but it's like every late night dorm room conversation I had when I was in college. Maybe if I saw it when I was in high school or college, I would have felt.
Well, that's the essence of a lot of Kevin Smith movies, though. It's just conversations that people would have normally. It's put on screen in a very comical way. That's exactly what Clerks is. Those are the type of conversations people were having at the time. Or at least that age group was having at the time. You know, how many, conversations like what's up with cigarettes and how many dicks does your girlfriend suck? I mean, those are conversations that people were having. Yeah.
I know I've had that conversation.
37.
Well, time.
but for me, my favorite is, I have a few favorites. I love Dogma like Hash does. I love it on this a visceral level and a comedic level and all those things, but one of my favorites is Clerks 2, because I feel that in Clerks 2, you finally see him come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that, I love Clerks 2. I forgot about that one. That's a good movie.
And I think it's him coming full circle and coming into his own finally. You know, even you just look at Clerks 1 and then look at Clerks 2. If you watch them back to back, you see a completely different Kevin Smith Clerks 2.
You definitely see a huge evolution in his filmmaking ability,
and that's because you are 10 years later at this point, and I think
can I throw in this thing about style, because Hash, you mentioned this about style. His visual style is more about whoever his cinematographer is. I mean, Dave Klein, who shot the Clerks movies and his early stuff, that guy's not that dynamic of a cinematographer. I mean, he's not very very Sonnenfeld or anything like that. Whereas Dogma, I forget who shot Dogma, but that has a much more dynamic feel and look because he has a different cinematographer. I don't think Kevin Smith actually has a visual style.
Yeah, and what I was saying is that I completely respect that. His style is, to me at least, his style is no style. And anybody who's able to really take that and push it and really call it their own is, I have immense respect for.
I just love how he always cracks jokes at himself about it. How he was, if you guys have ever seen one of the Third Evening With that he, he talks about he was on the set of Die Hard 4, and who's directed Die Hard 4? I can't remember.
Oh, it's the guy
who did the Underworld films, but his name is escaping me at the moment, but he had Kevin Smith sitting in a chair, and the cameras were going around Kevin, and Kevin turns to him and goes, hey, can you stop moving the camera? It's bothering me. And he goes, no, you see, this happens in my movies, moving his hands like a camera. Yours, pretty much this. I think that was beautiful. I love how he likes to crack jokes to himself. And he is such a glutton for self-deprecation, and also self-promotion, he's a guy who likes to do everything for himself. And I think that's real respectable. There's also this thing about, part of the reason he doesn't like to, I think, stray from his comfort zone is because every time he does, something goes wrong. Like, if you look at Jersey Girl could have been, and I think it was, a good film. What fucked it over was...
I like Jersey.
So do I. What happened was the studio really screwed it up. And they were like, studio's like, let's get Jennifer Lopez in it. It's like, no.
Jennifer Lopez didn't kill Jersey Girl. Here's what happened with Jersey, in my opinion. Of course, this is because this is truth. what happened with Jersey Girl is he had a chance to, he wanted to move outside of his comfort zone. He wanted to do something different. So he does Jersey Girl, but he didn't completely move out of his comfort zone. He made a sort of a romantic comedy where it had this giant scene where they talk about pornography, which is a turnoff to a lot of women. Yeah. I mean, I hate to, bust the bubble, but most chicks out there aren't saying, hey, let's turn on the porno. So when you throw these conversations, so it was like basically this View Askewniverse romantic comedy. So, but it still lingered. And I remember they're talking about, oh, it's his first non-Jay and Silent Bob thing. Went to the theater. What's the first thing you saw? Jay and Silent Bob. And so he didn't step completely. He didn't do something totally different. He kind of put his toe in the water, and then it wasn't a big hit. Yeah, the Bennifer thing, but I don't think it had anything to do with it. I just think
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't it in general. When it comes to film, romantic comedies are one of the few things that you need to have a formula. And when you stray from that formula, the movie sucks ass. I mean, I just saw All About Steve recently, and it was the worst freaking romantic comedy of the year, because they like, oh, let's do it different, and you're like, no, romantic comedies have to follow that formula. People expect it. It's like a western.
also then he does Zack and Miri Make a Porno, which wasn't, I love how people are always like, oh, well, it's a very successful non-View Askew film. Like, dude, it like literally Jason Mewes in that film is playing Jay with shorter hair.
Yeah. That's my notes. It really wasn't anything different.
It wasn't, but I just love that, you know, he was able to set it outside. The only difference is he was able to set it outside the VS universe and make it work.
And I was in Pittsburgh.
Right. I think that's commendable in some way. But now let's get into what he's doing now, which is, and everyone's got an opinion on this, which is Cop Out. What makes Cop Out special? First of all, let's talk a little history of Cop Out. First of all, Cop Out was supposed to be called A Couple of Dicks.
Which was a brilliant title.
It was. It
which
was
would a, have never got. Was it was. It was a doom title for me.
What happened was.
It's like making Dirty Sanchez as the name of your movie. You'd never get it done.
What happened was. When Zack and Mary came out, the MPAA and all these networks were freaking out because it had porno in the title. And no one would put posters up. No one would run that TV advertisements, etc.
I do a lot of radio around the country, and there are places that wouldn't let me say porno. They just had me called Zack and Mary,
which is really sad. But so Warner Brothers played it straight and they played it right, and they called up the networks, and Fox and TBS said, "We'll run it advertisements with that title any time of day." The big three, ABC, NBC, CBS, said we won't run them before 9 p.m. Before 9 p.m. And Warner Bros. Is like, we got to advertise to the sports market on this movie. So they can't do that. So they had to change the title. So for a very long time, it was called A Couple of Cops for a while, which was going to be terrible. And then it was called the Untitled Kevin Smith Cop Movie. Which if they kept that title, that would just been funny. But they went with Cop Out after, apparently Kevin Smith was on the phone with one of the producers of the movie. And then Warner Bros. Was going to lock A Couple of Cops as the title. And he goes, that's such a cop out. And he goes, why don't we just call the movie that? So it's a nice in joke. Here's the thing though, that's a bad title for anyone that doesn't know about the movie's history.
Yeah, that's pretty funny how the title is a cop out.
The title is pretty much for anyone that knows it was once called A Couple of Dicks. Anyone that doesn't, just really, that's for this really bad title. But the reason Cop Out is so special is because Kevin Smith didn't write this movie. The Cullen brothers wrote, not the Coens. Let me make that clear. Not the Coen brothers. Cullen, C-U-L-E. The Cullen brothers wrote this movie. The Cullen brothers are guys who, they've done a couple TV shows. They put out a pilot that Kevin Smith starred in called Manchild, and I've watched the pilot. It's actually pretty good. So they did that. And then they wrote this movie called A Couple of Dicks, and Bruce Willis, Tracy Morgan signed on. Kevin Smith came on after they came on. Or no, I think it was he came on, then Bruce Willis came on. But in any case, he didn't write it. And this trailer came out, the premiere before Sherlock Holmes, and a lot of people did not like this trailer. And let's start with you guys. Hash, what did you think of the Cop Out trailer?
I thought it was funny. I mean,
so did funny.
I don't really judge movies based on the trailer, but basing on the trailer being a movie itself, yeah, it got some laughs and it did its job, and I'll probably go see it. But I mean, it really doesn't do anything different at all.
Kevin?
Well, let me just preface this by saying I think Tracy Morgan is the comedic antichrist. I cannot stand him. I've seen almost nothing. I may have cracked a laugh now and then on Scare Tactics because he's so bad. I just think he's just a colossally unfunny person. So the funniest parts, quote unquote funniest part in the trailer are him, who I find unfunny. So it doesn't. I'm not into that. That's part of the reason I didn't like it. In terms of the trailer, it doesn't look at all like a Kevin Smith movie. It doesn't feel like a Kevin Smith movie because it's not written by him. So it just feels like another buddy cop movie. And it feels like, you know, it feels like Rush Hour or something like that, that it's like, well, it could be funny. I'm sure I'll see it and I'll be like, yeah, it's a decent movie. But I don't know if it's not going to be like a Beverly Hills Cop, which kind of rose above other cop stories. It's just going to be a run-of-the-mill cop film. But on the other hand, I mean, hey, good for Kevin Smith for, again, working outside of his comfort zone. It's not two guys working at a burger shop or at a video store or anything like that. It's something different, which is he needs to do because, like I said, he's turning 40 this year.
I think when I saw the Cop Out trailer, I saw it first. I premiered online. I thought it was very funny because I've been pumped up for this movie for a while now. And I thought it was very funny. And the thing that was always in the back of my mind was, this is an R-rated. This is a very hard R-rated movie. They've stated that many times. They actually took Bruce Willis, Tracy Morgan, Kevin Smith, took pay cuts to make sure it was stayed an R-rated movie. And
which makes it ridiculous that they didn't keep the title if it's an R-rated movie. It's like Inglourious Basterds.
Well, again, they had to. Yeah. Well, again, they had. Well, that I'll get. You know what? Hold on. Let's get into that for a second. Because that was also brought up by Smith. When Smith went, the studio came back and said, no, he was like, what about Inglourious Basterds? He goes, well, the spelling's different.
The spelling was different, and, which then they tried to.
Then they tried to spell it D. In the acronym DICS, which stands for Detective in Charge, and it's D-I-C-S.
Yeah.
And the studio, what happened was apparently the FCC says you can't pluralize the word dick. If it wasn't pluralized, then they could have run it as a couple of dick.
They could have called it like a dick and a half, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. But Warner Bros.
That would have been awesome.
Are you listening, Kevin Smith? That's what you should have done. It could have been a sequel to The Cop and a Half with what's his name?
But so anyway, that's what happened. I mean, that's why Inglourious Basterds got the okay, and that's why a couple of dicks didn't. But back to what I was saying, it's like, I feel that the cop-out trailer, though not that impressive, I still find it pretty funny. And I also like watching it. It may have just been the fact that it was cut really well, but if it's not, then this movie, the way it visually comes off, I think shows that Smith is growing as a visuals director. And, you know, he's finally able to just do at least the run-of-the-mill visuals and not just keep the camera steady for 7 minutes straight, which is fine with what you're going for, but in this case, it wouldn't have worked. So it's glad to see that hopefully that's at least some of him throwing some ideas out there on the visuals.
Well, and part of it is,
If you look at the trailer, there really isn't any camera movement at all.
Well, they're all on tripods. There's a lot of quick cutting.
Well, yeah. It depends on, again, it's filmed by, it was the cinematographer's Dave Klein.
Dave Klein again?
Yeah. Who has grown? I mean, he has grown doing stuff. He was doing some cinematography for Pushing Daisies, and Zach and Mary did not look like a Dave Klein movie. It looked a lot better. But the guy, like I said, when the guy started, I knew a guy, I used to do independent film in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I knew a guy who was so pissed that Dave Klein had a career because he hated his cinema. He said, it's not in focus. I mean, look at Clerks, it's shot. It looks like crap. Mm-hmm. And he was so mad that Dave Klein would get work beyond Clerks, even though he really only did DP work after, you know, just Kevin Smith stuff for the first couple of years. But you know, Klein has emerged as a better cinematographer because he's sort of really developed his craft and Kevin Smith trusts him. I think that's why they actually work well together.
Right. And I also think, here's the other thing. Kevin Smith, when he makes movies, has a whole team behind him that he works with. He has himself, he has his producer, Scott Mosier. He has David Klein. For a while, he had the Weinsteins up until this movie. And he had this whole team of familiarity behind him that they all knew each other. They all knew each other's tics, how they did things. And that, I feel, works for him. This, the only, except for Dave Klein, there's no Scott Mosier. There's no more Weinsteins. There's nothing. So
it's probably a good thing there's no more Weinsteins because they're just running themselves in the ground.
I think that's probably the reason Zach and Mary, you know, didn't get the proper release, because I thought it was a great movie that was very undeserving of what it received. But so Kevin said this again, bring yourself out of his comfort zone, like you said, Kevin. I think it's wonderful that he's doing that. Where is he headed from here, though? He's talking about doing the hockey movie, which if Cop Out works, I would love to see him do a hockey movie. Because I've never seen a sports movie I liked. So if he turned hit somebody into maybe like, you know, a sports comedy, I think that would be great. He is writing Hit Somebody, which is also good. And he's also, especially this past year, has really come out as like a huge hockey fan, like way more than anyone thought.
Yeah.
I would love to see what he can do with a hockey film. What do you guys think?
Didn't he say that he was writing a horror movie?
That's all right. We can talk about Red State for a second. Red State is this movie that is a quote unquote passion project he's been talking about for a very long time, and they say that's nothing at all like what he's done before, and it's a political horror film, almost no comedy in it at all, if anything. And the problem is he's having a lot of problems right now getting it financed, Which, to say, I think that says something about the movie. That either says the movie is really bad, or it's really good, and no one wants to take a risk on it.
What I think it is that people are like, Kevin Smith, political horror, he can't do that. Stick to fart jokes and crap like that. I think that's the problem with it, which that says more about the people who are trying to, who are running this thing, you know, whoever, all the studios, this says more about them. I would absolutely love to see a political horror movie directed by Kevin Smith. For me, that's what I was talking about before. You know, him taking the initiative on these, you know, hard topics and putting his own spin on it. I'd love to see it.
Definitely, Kevin.
Well, you know, is this the thoughts on Red State?
Yeah, thoughts on Red. Thoughts on Red State. It's like
where he's going for now. Where he's going for now is Red State. That's what I'd love to see.
Well, I think it all depends on what happens with Cop Out. I mean, honestly, if it comes out in February and it just sort of or if it's just out there, or if it bombs. Worse yet, if it bombs, you're gonna get Clerks 3. Because
well, I'll get into that, but he says he's gonna do Clerks 3 though.
Well, no, but this is the thing. He went out of his expertise, his wheelhouse. He went out of that to do Jersey Girl. And when Jersey Girl was a disappointment, and part of it was, if you actually look at the numbers, Jersey Girl made money. Jersey Girl was a success. It was a profitable film. It made gravy at the video release. Kevin Smith is the one who actually made people perceive that as a bomb, because he was so self-deprecating about it, and it didn't do as well as he was hoping it would do. And he turns around and what's his next two movies? Boom, Clerks 2, which is totally back to the Spewisk universe, and Zach and Miri, which its location more than anything else is why it's not in the Viewers universe. I mean, you had a fat old 30-something guy, or 20, late 20s at least, guy who loved hockey, and a girl who was completely a dude with a vagina, and it was dick and fart jokes from beginning to end, with a big role for Jason Mewes. But it was basically a Viewers universe.
But like Jersey Girl, Zach and Miri was a disappointment box office wise.
And all of his movies have been best.
Yeah, but here's the thing: no one expects the VSQ films to be huge box office successes. They just expect them to make profit. Clerks 2 was shot $6 million, made 25 at the box office.
So, well, but people expect it. I've at least for Jersey Girl, Clerks 2, and Zach and Miri, I remember people like, oh, is this going to be a big one? And then it comes in, and the returns come in, and people are going, it did okay. And it performs exactly as his other films do.
Yeah,
Hollywood puts a lot of cachet on people's names, and they're like, "Oh, it's a Kevin Smith movie, so it should do well." These movies never do that well. I mean, they do okay.
First of all, here's the first thing: that they never advertise Kevin Smith movies as "quote unquote" Kevin Smith movies. Like, you never see in the trailer directed by Kevin Smith.
Don't have to.
But here's the other thing: when it comes to Zach and Miri, anyway. Everyone, all these outside sources, Box Office Mojo, Box Office Guru, they're all saying it's going to gross huge. It's going to be his big movie. It's going to gross over $100 million. And that's because Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen is usually bankable. And it didn't. It came, and the numbers came in, barely made profit. It did well, very well on DVD, but at least box office wise, it didn't perform as well as everyone thought it was going to. And Kevin said secluded for a while, and he says that movie is what he says broke him in terms of caring about box office.
You mean Zach and Mary?
Yeah.
But the same thing happened with Jersey Girl. They were thinking Ben Affleck, big star. Forget Bennifer, but you have Ben Affleck there, and the movie doesn't do it. People don't go see movies for the stars. I mean, there are certain, if you put like a star, like if you put Will Smith in a big budget action movie, you can guarantee a certain box office on opening weekend. You put Will Smith in a weepy Oscar bait movie like 7 Pounds, and it completely tanks, like it did, rightfully so. And there's this movie, like they have the New Moon movies, the Twilight movies, they got Robert Pattinson, they're coming out with some crappy Robert Pattinson movie this spring. It's gonna bomb because no one wants to see him when he's not a sparkly vampire. But Hollywood says, oh, you put a name on it, it's going to do well. So you put Seth Rogen in the movie, ergo it must do well. That's not necessarily the case. And there's been other stuff that it has been proved time and time again that just putting a name in a movie doesn't make it big. But sometimes I think that's how these movies get sold. That's how you get funding for a movie like Zach and Miri. You put in Elizabeth Banks and Seth Rogen, and they're like, oh, these people have been in so many big movies. And then people don't go necessarily because it really kind of targets a certain market and not much outside of that.
Oh, I hear that, definitely. Let's get back to Cobb. Let's get back to where his career is headed. Back to Red State, when he was saying he's so funny, and then someone on Twitter suggested something that I thought was interesting. I would love to see him do this. A quote-unquote fan-produced film where people would send in donations for the movie and finance it that way. And I thought that reminds me of that other thing, the one-minute film project. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one-second film.
And all these big names were throwing money to it, and I thought that was brilliant. That was a brilliant thing to do. And then, so if he does something like that with Red State, I think that's going to be something really remarkable. But that movie isn't going to go very... It's gonna get, like, a very small, limited theatrical release and then do well on DVD, in my opinion. That's the thing. The problem is Smith fans are... A lot like some other fans, like what's that Jack Black, Kyle Gass band?
Tenacious
D. Mm-hmm. When asked about why the Tenacious D movie bombed, Jack Black was like, "Cause all our fans are stoned. They're not going out to the theater, which is why it did well on DVD." That's what some Kevin Smith fans are, and it's like it's great, you know. But the thing is, a lot of them are stoners, so they're not going out to the movies to go see their Kevin Smith movies. They'll just wait till it hits DVD, and then his movies do huge on DVD.
Well, but I also don't. I just Kevin Smith's. He has never been a mainstream filmmaker. He has a market. He has a strong. He's the Barry Manilow of filmmakers.
Would you argue that he's on the league of independent of like an hardcore independent filmmaker that makes a bunch of artistic films?
No, that's Tarantino. That's Tarantino.
No, I'm not like Tarantino. I'm saying like he's in that same ballpark where it's only for like a set number of people because you know you have all these huge artistic film directors that do these crazy innovations that no one understands except for the people that are in that field. So would you like equate him to an artistic filmmaker in that regards?
Maybe. I would equate him more to a niche filmmaker. I mean, he is a niche filmmaker. He's a pop culture name and a lot of people know him because his success story is an awesome success story. And a lot of people know that it's a carryover from the independent boom in the 90s, but his films speak to, in general, most of his films speak to that 20 something, the teenage, high school, college group, and they'll go see it, but it's a much more male centric crowd. I mean, he's got a very narrow demographic and that's why I like to see him work outside of it. I think the most disappointing thing I've ever seen in Kevin Smith's career was when he opted to not do the Green Hornet. And this is why, because I'm like, this would have really given him a chance to do something similar to what he knows. I mean, comic books and superheroes, but to really kind of expand and do something different. I think that would have been fantastic, but I think he's just, I think he has some self-confidence issues and I don't think he thinks he could do that.
Well, actually it's funny. He talks about that on the Clerks 2 DVD in that making of. He said that after they did Jersey Girl, the Weinsteins hired him to write The Green Hornet. And he wrote a script. He submitted it. It was going to go through. They asked him if he wanted to direct. He said no. He was still in, you know, broken from Jersey Girl at that point.
Yeah.
And he said that after he did Jane and Silent Bob Strike Back, he really doesn't want to do a lot of heavy action scenes, which apparently that changed. But he didn't want to do a lot of action scenes because when he did Jane and Silent Bob, he said it was the most tedious thing he ever did. He's not that kind of filmmaker where when you shoot an action scene, you know, you have to shoot this little part and then you have to readjust, shoot this little part, readjust, shoot this little part, and then
action scenes.
Yeah.
He should have been on set for the Inglourious Bastards bar scene. I would love to see his reaction to that. How that would have went through.
But
I was watching one of the old James Bond movies. I think it was Tomorrow Never Dies or The World's Not Enough, one of those two. And there's a chase scene where Pierce Brosnan's in the back of a BMW driving it with a pad.
With a touch screen. Oh, God.
It took 2 weeks to film that scene. And that was all second unit. I mean, and then they just had the inserts of Pierce Brosnan. All the rest, 2 weeks was second unit.
Right.
I'm with Kevin Smith on that. I couldn't direct, you know, take 2 weeks to direct 2 minutes of film.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So Kevin Smith really doesn't want to do a movie like that. So he wrote it. And then, as we all know, the script got changed. And Mike Gondry took it over, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not here to talk about it.
I'm so happy Michelle Gondry has that.
So he does that. He goes into the Clerks 2, then to Zack and Mary. Now he's doing Cop-Out. Cop-Out is going, I think, will make a break in, but I think Cop-Out is going to work Look, when I saw Sherlock Holmes, when I saw it, they played the trailer, and it got a huge laugh in the theater. And you gotta remember, here's the other thing when it comes to this trailer. This trailer is not selling to us. We know about this film. Right. We've known about this film for a very long time. This trailer is selling to the people who have never heard of Cop Out before.
I think Cop Out has an absolute chance to be a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is, because it's coming out in February where there's nothing but crap.
Whoa. Not this February is different. Shutter Island's coming out, and it's coming out the week before, which I think is going to be a hurdle for it. Because it's the week before Cop Out comes out.
They're very different. One's a brooding, heavy. I mean, they're both. You know, they do kind of play to the same audience, but they're not the same kind of film.
That's what I'm saying. Scorsese draws a crowd, though.
Yeah, they're so extreme that I don't think it'll really affect each other as far as sales go.
I don't know. I really think. Well, this is why I think. First of all, it's coming out in February. Yeah, Shutter Island, but in general, February is a rough time for movies. There's not a lot of great stuff out there, and all the of Avatar and Sherlock Holmes and stuff will have waned much by then. And then you've got Bruce Willis, who's a big star, doing what people love seeing him do in the basically a diehard comedy role. You got Tracy Morgan, who, like I said, I hate him, but he's got a huge fan base, and it plays to it crosses a racial divide. It's got a black guy, it's got a white guy, so it kind of hits that dual sort of Lethal Weapon role where you got somebody. So you got you got your racial demographics all figured out, and it's an action movie. People love that shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely people love that shit, and I think the movie will do well. I don't think it's going to do huge numbers. I think it will do. If it breaks 100 million, I think that's a good day. That's a really good day, actually. But I think I see this movie making about 60, 70, maybe 80 million.
When all said and done,
in box office, and I think that that's a reasonable goal. I think, especially considering that there is a pay cut involved. Like Smith said, he made less on this movie than he did on Dogma.
If he can make more than $35 million with Cop Out, it'll be a success for him, because I think that's
that'll be his highest grossing film of all time.
Yeah. It would make news, and you'll then suddenly see his name showing up there. So in terms of Red State, here's the thing with Red State that he's the danger. He is not he has political views, but he's not a political director.
No, he's not.
And every now and then things will drip into his movies, but by and large he's apolitical. I mean, you know where he's coming from, but he doesn't deal with politics. And
no, actually on the second evening with he because I've seen him all a bunch of times, but on the second evening, he actually made one Bush joke at the start of the movie at the start of it. And he said, "That's my political stuff for the whole night." Because
he makes a joke about Bush and Swiper the Fox from Dorothy.
Yeah, and I think exactly.
That's it.
What I was saying, but his audience, I think, is apolitical too. I mean, there are people who have political, but your average stoner sitting at home, the only thing they're really worried about politically is can we get marijuana legalized? Everything else, I don't care. But this is what happened with people like the Dixie Chicks, just as a great example. You step in that political realm. Happened to Ellen DeGeneres when she went kind of political with her sexuality. It kind of killed her career for about 5 or 10 years. Once you step in that political realm, if you have a success with that or whatever, you can get yourself polarized. And I don't think Kevin Smith wants to be known as a political director. So, we'll see what happens. If he makes it like – I don't know if you ever saw that movie that David Arquette did, the one about the killer in the woods. I forget what that was. It was it came out on 420, but it was like sort of like a pot smoking killer movie, and it had a guy in a Ronald Reagan mask killing babies.
Awesome.
If it turns into something like that, I think he's safe. But if he really wants to make a political statement, I don't know if he really wants his career to go that way permanently.
No, I think Matt. Like I said, I think he said this was a passion project for him.
Yeah,
kind of like similar to the way Avatar was a passion project for James Cameron. So, you know, this game is, and after this, he'll go back to doing what he normally does. I think right now, after Cop Out, the next one we gotta worry about him coming from him is hit somebody. Because we gotta see if Cop Out works, then I'll be completely sold on the idea of him doing a hockey film. Because a hockey film, like rom-coms, sports movies have a very unique formula as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't stray from that. Remember the Titans. Look at the great sports movies, Rudy, Remember the Titans, Field of Dreams.
Tin Cup. Just kidding.
Or you could look at Friday Night Lights and see how that just totally broke the mold.
I
hated that movie.
Yeah.
What? I hated Friday Night Lights.
Do you like the TV show?
I didn't watch the TV show. I was inspired to not watch the TV show.
Yeah, I don't want to watch the TV show either. So I'll see. I have faith in him, especially a hockey movie, because there are hardly any hockey films. So you can be Mighty Ducks and Miracle. That's about it.
Slapshot.
Miracle.
That's what I said. Mighty Ducks and Miracle.
There's Slapshot.
Yes, there is Slapshot. But like, so, well,
the hockey movies tend to not do that well.
Sure.
That's another danger. If you were to make a football movie, there are people who will just go see. I live in Columbus, Ohio, and that's a big football town because it's got OSU there, and people are freaks about it. And you put a football in a movie, people will go see it. You know, put a hockey puck in a movie. You don't have that built-in audience. Hockey movies for Americans, it just isn't a big property. So that's the only thing that worries me about what's it called? Get Slapped or something like that. Someone's going to get hit in the face. What's the name of the movie?
Hit somebody. It's based off a song. I forgot who did the song. Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I have faith in him. I've always had faith in Kevin Smith. I will never not have faith in Kevin Smith because I feel that he's a guy that knows exactly the audience he's making a movie for. Regardless of, I think even in Cop Out, he knows who he's making this movie for. And I think that's a great advantage for him. And also, what's funny about Cop Out is he said that Cop Out was one of the easiest films he ever did. Because
I have to write it.
I just got a message from Jordan, our head writer, saying Warren Devon did the song. For Hit Somebody. But
Thanks Jordan.
But back to what I was saying, I think Cop Out is one of these two. He said because he didn't write it. And he said because he didn't write it, he wasn't so worried about every nook and cranny of the film. Because when you write it, you're with the project for a year, 2 years, even before it gets into production. And so when you're in production, you have a very unique, you have a very strict vision in your head of what this scene is going to look like. When you don't write, when he didn't write the film, he said he didn't have that. And he was able to take more outside suggestions.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I remember listening to his commentary on Dogma, and he does talk about how much he is tied to his own writing, and he doesn't like people messing. He doesn't like people improvising.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's why he gets mad at Affleck. I love it.
Yeah. Well, but and the thing is, that's so if he's working with somebody else's, he's maybe a little more free with it, which is probably good. The other thing is, his dialogue is brilliant, but it needs to be delivered by the right people. And if you don't believe me, listen to people like Linda Fiorentino, Shannon Doherty, was it Jeremy London? All these people can't deliver Kevin Smith dialogue worth a damn, and they suck in the movies. Whereas you get somebody like Ben Affleck or Jason Lee, or even Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson from the old days, they can deliver the dialogue and it works. But you got to have the right person. And
Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks, they were able to deliver very well. And here's the thing again: Cop Out is not Kevin Smith dialogue. Even though I saw the trailer and it feels like it's got that Kevin Smith essence.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of improv with Tracy Morgan, especially since he's not tied to the dot.
Well, it's funny. I didn't want to ruin the whole movie for myself. So I went and I read the first scene of the film with the script leaked online. So I read the first scene and there's only a little bit of like that line in the trailer where he goes, "Hello, the president is black now. We make decisions." That's improvised. That's not in the script.
Even though it's an old joke.
Yeah, it is an old
joke. At this point, it's a really old joke.
It is. But so I think, and I read the first scene, and I was, it was gut bustingly funny, and and that's because the trailer watered it down for a Green Band trailer because it's very F word heavy.
Well, you know, that same thing happened with a Superbad.
Right.
I mean, all this belly aching about a green band versus red band trailers is just, come on, people. You've got do you really think that they're only going to release a red band trailer? You've got to have the green band trailer. That's just the way the market works.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way you'll really be able to get played in the mainstream.
Yeah, and I think one more thing about nitpicking is like I said before, Kevin Smith's name isn't on the trailer. Kevin Smith talked to us on Twitter, and he ripped on me when he did it. But
did he actually directly address you?
No, I put up on Twitter, everyone, Kevin Smith explained why his name is in the trailer, and he goes, why is everyone nitpicking that? And Hash thought he was making fun of me, but he wasn't. But
whatever, you can go under his name and see it yourself.
Yeah.
You need to judge.
But I'll put a link up to it. But Kevin Smith, he doesn't want his names on his trailers. He tells the studio he doesn't want it there. So I think that I don't know why he doesn't want it at this point. I think it's because the people that would want to see this movie, at least who would respond to his name being on the trailer, already know this movie exists and already knows this movie.
If you say Kevin Smith movie, people think Clerks, you know, Dogma, mm-hmm. Zack and Mary Make a Porno.
If he's straying away from that.
Yeah, he's a galvanizing name. So you hear the name Kevin Smith and you're immediately going to have a preconceived notion. So that I think that might have a lot to do with it.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Like I said, once we start getting closer to release and we start seeing TV spots come in, we start seeing trailers come in, I think we'll have a good idea of where this movie is going to go audience-wise and how successful it's going to be.
But, I mean, they can't sit there – they can't put on their, like, from the director of Clerks, this buddy cop movie. You're like, well, that just doesn't work. They could be like, from the fat guy who was in Die Hard 4 –
well, like, that's what they did for Fanboys.
Yeah, they did. That was
for Fanboys. Instead of saying from the director of, or like with the director of Clerks, it was from the fat guy that was in
Die Hard 4.
It was literally that.
NJ. That's what they did. I thought that was really funny. That. So, final thoughts on Kevin Smith, guys. I think Kevin Smith is definitely going places. He has become a commodity in of himself, and I think that's he knows pop culture really well. He knows how to work pop culture. He's done TV shows. He had a Clerks cartoon at one point, for God's sakes.
That's a great series, too.
It is. It's a shame. It was the show never meant for broadcast television.
It should have been on Fox, if anything.
Yeah, and I watched all six episodes, and they're amazing. But here's the thing with those episodes. They work very linearly, like a Kevin Smith film. Like, you gotta see the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ABC when they aired and did like 2, 4, like, and it's like there's a reference to episode 1 and episode 3. So,
and yeah. They started with episode 3.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, it's all sorts of screwy, but it's great to hear. So he's done that. He built a whole universe around. Around these characters, specifically two characters foreclose, I want to ask you guys a question. Why were Jay and Silent Bob so, like, popular? What was it about Jay and Bob that really connected with people? What do you think?
They were just normal people standing outside of like we said earlier, it was conversations that we all took, you know, at some point, it was all on our minds, and now here it is. Two people are talking about it. Something we've never experienced before in our life. Sarcasm. But the fact that it's on, it's being portrayed 24 frames per second and somebody's actually doing it, I think that's what attracted. They're normal people doing normal things, and we can go to the movies and see it and have a fun twist to it.
Kevin?
I would have to say it goes more because comedy duos have always done well. Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy in the past, even, you know, R2-D2 and C-3PO. That's really what they were. They were R2-D2 and C-3PO, and instead of a protocol droid, he was a foul-mouthed drug dealer, and then you had the guy who didn't actually speak English. they acted as a foil, so they were these outrageous characters that were completely silly and fun to watch, and you can have all this craziness happen around them. But if you go back and you watch Clerks, Jay is a much harder character in Clerks than he is in all the later incarnations.
Well, I think that, again, this goes back to Kevin Smith basing characters off people he knew. Jay is based off of a version of Jason Mewes that no one ever met. And that he said that numerous times, and also at the time, Mewes was not a very reliable actor, which is why he said he said
like 19 when he made that movie, when he was in that.
Exactly. So when it came to Jay, you know, and then the reason the other ones were lighter is because every time they had to make a movie with Jay, this is when he was really hot, like really like addicted to drugs. So they had to sober him up every time before a movie started. And, you know, that's why he's so mellow at the time, because he's just, he's coming off that, he's just coming off addiction of whatever he was addicted to. And I think when you finally see a clean Jay in Clerks 2, again, it's like Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes came full circle in Clerks 2.
Yeah.
Everyone really came full circle in Clerks 2, and I think it was a brilliant move. But, all right, so back to what I was saying, closing thoughts on Kevin Smith. Kevin, where do you think Kevin Smith is headed?
I hope he's headed for some more different stuff. I hope he's headed for bigger and better things. I hope he doesn't get his spirits crushed and have to just kind of go back to the well. I think he's good enough. I'd like to see him stretch as a director. And that's I'm really kind of looking forward to what he can do next without being burdened by, you know, his own perceived failures, which I don't think he's a fail. He doesn't have failures, but I hope he's headed towards bigger and better things and maybe a little bit of the old stuff too.
Hash,
I'd like to say that he's going to go out and do bigger, a lot of different things, but realistically, I think he's probably just going to go back like Clerks 3.
You Clerks 4, are whatever. Such a cynical person, Hash.
I know. I mean, let's face it. He's probably going to go back to his comfort zone for a while and then do something different. And it's kind of he has kind of a cycle that he's been going on. And he's probably going to keep doing that.
I'd love
to see him go out and do much bigger, better, different things. But he kind of has like a roller coaster ride. He goes up, does something different, and then he goes back down to his comfort zone. Then up, and then up, down, up.
Well, he goes.
I think if he has success in what.
Well, that's the thing. He goes to his comfort zone when the change he makes doesn't work. At least, like audience wise.
Okay, so then I guess it just all depends on where Cop Out goes. Cop Out does good. I think that he'll keep going on and doing different things. If not, then he's just going
to
go straight.
And also, in response to Clerks 3, I think we will see. He stated before he may do Clerks 3 once he's deep into his 40s, and because Clerks is really supposed to be a reflection of what he's going through. Like Clerks 1 was all about him in his 20s. Clerks 2 is about him in his 30s. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get Clerks 3 about, you know, 10 years from now. Kevin Smith is in his 40s, dealing with the issues of being 40, back troubles, memory loss, hair going thin.
Hey, dude, I'm 38. It's not happening yet.
So we'll see where it goes. So, again, thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode of TFS Spotlight. Kevin, thank you very much for... joining us today.
Thanks.
And
it was a pleasure.
Where can people find more of you on the internet?
You can find all you want of me on the internet. The easiest place is go to fatguysinthemovies.com. You can also catch me on twitter.com/KevinCarr and see the silly things that I talk about.
Hash?
I write my author's page on the filmstage.com.
/author/online04.
Yeah, that one.
And you can find me at twitter.com/sonic43, merylbar.com. Writing over on the film stage, and also we're starting this episode. I don't know if any of you saw the Twitter message I put up when we were actually doing this or not, but starting with this episode and going forward, we are going to start broadcasting the recordings live via Ustream, and we'll be putting up links to the page when we record live, and that's merylbar.com/live. And, you know, I hope you guys enjoy hearing us live and hear the recording, having input. Hopefully you guys will start putting in your own inputs and stuff. Also, go to iTunes, subscribe to us via iTunes, leave a review. And that's about it. Thank you guys for joining us, and have a good day.
Take care. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power.